broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great, awesome, good morning to you. We had a couple of things happen overnight. No tsunami, but a 5.2 at the Kilauea Summit. We heard from Civil Defense that it rattled, but it didn't really do anything in the way of a wave action, fortunately. I'm certain that it rattled a lot of nerves on the Big Island. And on Oahu, we have a flood advisory until 7:15 this morning. Just so you know, it doesn't look like it's raining much in Honolulu. Maybe did overnight, but this advisory in effect until 7:15. We're going to have partly sunny skies, breezy still, they say. Haze, though, through the day. So not strong enough trades to keep that haze away. By the way, they're playing golf on the Big Island at Volcano because the trade winds are strong enough at the Volcano golf course to keep the trade winds away from Volcano. So they're playing like they are across Oahu and like we did for Women's Golf Day. Huge success this year in Hawaii. Well, last year we had two golf courses participating. This year it was five. Over 38 countries around the world were involved. Here at Ka'anapali, 69 women showed up, and they showed up for their day. A clinic with Shaina Miyajima, a fashion show, food, wine, giveaways, a swag bag on the way out. At Mauna Kea Golf Resort, 19 women attended. A clinic with full swing, chipping, and putting on the course. There were three pros helping out, mingling with the ladies, giving them a little bit of information about full swing and putting and all feedback. And one of the ladies, now this is going to make you go, what? A true beginner, says director of golf, Josh Solomon. She managed to get over the ocean and on the green on the third and birdied the hole. Wait a minute. Okay. After that, it was cocktails and poo-poos at the number three restaurant. The best part, the women had so much fun, they've asked for a regular event, and Mauna Kea Golf Resort is starting the Sip and Swing. They'll have more details, of course, we'll provide them for you. At Wailea, on the blue course, there was a nine-hole scramble. At least 30 women were there, plus there were skills games for the newcomers to the game of golf with food and drink and camaraderie and a whole bunch of fun. I saw lines and lines of golf carts. And at Moolua Golf Club, we had a clinic with Ayumi Hori. Thank you so much, Ayumi. We had a nine and wine, nine holes, and then a ball-fitting clinic with Bridgestone Hawaii rep Delmar Fujita. By the way, a little tip, your swing speed reveals the golf ball you should use. And we're going to give away some Bridgestone golf balls today during the show. And at the Prince Omakai course, it was a wonderful evening had by all on the course with a clinic and golf and wine on the course overlooking that magnificent coastline that makes Prince Omakai so very special. Bob Bupka is very special to us, and he's at Shinnecock, Long Island. I think that's where Bob grew up. Well, we'll be back with Bob Bupka, the voice of golf on Talk Sport and host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove, right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And here is Bob Bupka, voice of golf, Talk Sport in the UK, host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove, and author of the Ryder Cup. You know, this is a Ryder Cup year. It's going to be in France. The Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, released in first ebook edition by Diversion Books. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Now, welcome Danielle Tucker to the middle of the merchandise tent here at Shinnecock, just a few hundred yards from the first tee, where Thursday, the 2018 United States Open will get underway. It is a glorious day, and you're right about saying I grew up just a few miles from here, actually staying with my brother, Dennis, and I, enjoying his hospitality have an opportunity to see my children, my grandchildren. It really is a very special week, and we're very proud to be able to take you right into the middle of the merchandise tent. I don't think this has ever been done before on radio. We coordinated it with Mary Lobaczynski, who is head of merchandising for the United States Golf Association, and she has been delighted with the results that we've gotten so far. She's all excited about the fact now that I'm talking to Hawaii.
Yes, yes, indeed, and I am too, because, I mean, the merchandise tents that we have usually for most of the, you know, events that are going from week to week to week on the tour, and the USGA, it looks like they put up a building at Shinnecock. Just, it's an amazing, amazing merchandise building tent. And I noticed because you've been on FaceTime, you're FaceTiming it and on Facebook, and I saw you there sitting at your broadcasting booth that Janice Self has set up, and I see all the merchandise on display. Do you know how much money possibly they make selling all the merchandise during the U.S. Open?
Well, you might be a little surprised at this tally, but projections are that the USGA will make a profit this week at this U.S. Open and this merchandise tent of $15 million.
Did you say 15 with an M or a B?
No, M. An M. But an M is pretty big.
$15 million. I understand that the USGA is able to fund a lot of the events they do, including the Curtis Cup that's underway this weekend, because of the money they make during U.S. Open Week, that it powers so many of the wonderful events that go on the USGA calendar.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, Danielle, because that's absolutely the truth. They take these funds. They support 13 national championships. Obviously, this is the granddaddy of them all. It's just starting to happen, unusual things. We were broadcasting here just a little while ago, and not too far from my location, they sell pin flags. And I see this young guy walk up, and he takes 1, 2, 5, 10, 15 pin flags and shoves them into his shopping bag. And I say to him, "Well, you ought to get that autograph." And he just walks away. But when he gets about 10 feet away, I said, "Good golly, you idiot. That's Charlie Hoffman." So I stop him. I said, "Charlie," I said, "I want you to come on the air with me." He says, "Are you kidding me? You just made fun of me buying pin flags. Now you want me to come on the air with you?" So we got a good chuckle out of that. But it's amazing how many players actually visit the merchandise tent and buy stuff. And what Charlie was doing, which so many of the players do, and you know this very well, Danielle, they have their own charity. So Charlie is getting these flags. Whoever wins, hopefully Charlie will be able to sign them himself. He's certainly capable of winning this U.S. Open. But whoever wins, he will have those flags signed. And then when he has his annual charity, he'll have those that will be raffled off. So a lot of good. I mean, it's just fascinating being out here. 37,000 square feet. They're going to sell over 100,000 golf hats. So it's a big operation. And another example of that, they have 1,000 volunteers that are affiliated with the merchandise tent. 1,000 volunteers are needed to do all the chores and errands that are required.
Wow, 100,000 volunteers. And, you know, none of these tournaments would be possible without all of the volunteers that come out, spend days on the golf course, regardless of the conditions, raining, sunny, in between. And everybody, every volunteer I've ever talked to has had nothing but, "Hey, I really had a great time. It was camaraderie all the way. We just had a wonderful time on the golf course, helping out, doing whatever was asked of us to make sure that this event could go on smoothly and work." I got to ask you, This is the first time that we've had a U.S. Open at Shinnecock since, what was it, 2004? Have any changes been made to the golf course after the storms up on the coast?
Well, the storms really didn't bother the golf course. They've done a couple of things. They've made this golf course over 400 yards longer than it used to play, but they did widen the fairways. So it's kind of a trade-off. I would have preferred they didn't lengthen the golf course, but kept the narrow fairways. But, hey, the powers to be at the USGA are far smarter than I would ever hope to be. And Mike Davis, the executive director, he does an outstanding job. And I'll tell you how great this stuff is inside this merchandise tent. Mike Davis, the executive director of the USGA, he was in here shopping the other day. He said he can't find stuff like this anywhere else but inside this tent. So it's a very, very festive affair. We're having marvelous weather and projected for next week. It looks like it's going to be tremendous weather-wise, temperatures somewhere around 75, 80 degrees. And if we get a little wind blowing next week, Shinnecock will show up at its best. You'll be able to see how pretty it is when they do TV because it's so close to the ocean. Of course, people in Hawaii are spoiled because everything they see is pretty and everything, every day they're close to the ocean. But this is a very special neck of the woods. Some of the richest and most famous people in the world all have homes out here. I am not one of them, but I'm certainly proud to have been born and raised out here, and I never forget it. And I love every opportunity I get, Danielle, to come back and spend time with family. Because after all said and done, family is what it's all about.
Exactly. Okay. You talk about a home, and wealthy people now live on Long Island and the Hamptons. And Tiger Woods docked his privacy at, was it Montauk Yacht Club in the Hamptons for the U.S. Open?
Well, actually, they made a mistake with that report. He's docked his yacht in the Sag Harbor Marina. So I can't. Tiger is not here yet. He was up here a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, I had the head professional. His name is Jack Druger. He was on the air with me yesterday, and he said about two weeks ago, he was in the pro shop. It was kind of late in the afternoon, not much action going, and he said the door opened, a guy walked in, and Jack said he was looking down at his phone. He had just gotten a text message, and he just said, can I help you? And then when he looked up, it was Tiger Woods, and Tiger said, hey, Jack, are you doing anything tomorrow morning? And Jack Druger said, why, Tiger? Tiger said, I want you to play with me. And Jack said, I tell you what, I felt really good because as we finished 18, Tiger said to him, why don't we grab a quick bite to eat, and I'd like you to play another 18 holes with me. So Jack felt that, you know, he was beneficial to Tiger. But can you imagine being a head professional and Tiger Woods walks into your pro shop and says, come on, we're going to play some golf tomorrow. Jack was beaming from ear to ear. And his yacht, yes, it's docked where I grew up. It's only 150 foot long. I had a little trouble getting it into the marina there, which is about 12 miles from where we are. So he's going to have an easy commute. And I'm going to badger Tiger when I get to see him. I want to get on that yacht for at least a couple of minutes. And I think if I get some quality time with him alone, he'll more than welcome me on the yacht, and that should be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm so glad. See, everybody who wrote about his yacht privacy being in a club, a yacht club, for the U.S. Open, where he will probably stay. It's always like, you know, we think more than likely it was like he was doing a power play by bringing his yacht in. Like he was at the bow of the ship sailing into the harbor. I'm here to dominate. Tiger wasn't even on the ship. They just brought the boat in. The yacht was brought in to be moored so that he could use it as a hotel. You know, if I had his yacht and I could put it someplace and make it my hotel, Why would I stay in a hotel room, right, Bob?
No, you got a good point. I mean, he has his own gymnasium on board. He's got everything that he's comfortable with. He has a huge edge whenever U.S. Open is parked close enough so that he can, you know, use it, as you said, and instead of a hotel room or even renting a home, it certainly wouldn't have the comforts that he's used to. So Tiger has an edge. There's a good possibility, and Jack Drueger and I and had Jeff Shackelford from Golf Channel. I know he's been on your show quite a bit. He was on with me earlier today. Here's the dream, and we need the power of positive thinking from Hawaii. Here's our dream this week. Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, final pairing on Sunday. Phil trying to win the U.S. Open, complete his Grand Slam. Tiger trying to come back and win a major after not doing so for 10 years. His last major championship, the United States Open and in San Diego at Torrey Pines 10 years ago. I mean, it's so hard to believe. But what a twosome that would be. With the NBA over, hockey's over, it would be the biggest sporting event maybe in the history of the world if Phil and Tiger in that last twosome on Sunday.
Absolutely. And, you know, after his first round of golf, Phil Mickelson was on fire. it was great to see him at the FedEx St. Jude Classic playing so well. And who knows? It's golf. But Dustin Johnson is 10 under. He starts his round of golf soon, shot a 63 and a 67. So he's going into Saturday moving day at the St. Jude, hoping to go back to number one, but he's also going to be playing golf with Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas. They tee off in the afternoon on Thursday and then in the morning on Friday. So 1:47 in the afternoon is their first tee time on Thursday. Then they go on Friday at 8:02. I understand that the weather forecast is pretty good with Shinnecock firm, fast, and this is from the USGA. Winds to 15 miles per hour, a few over par will be the winning score. So I want to know if, you know, the way they're seeing it from the USGA's point of view, and of course it's the guides versus the golf course, a few over par will be the winning score. Is that the USGA crowing a little pre-fight hoopla?
Well, you know, Danielle, that's a wonderful question, but Shinnecock with a 15-mile-an-hour wind, it might be the ultimate test. If you take a vote of everybody on the PGA Tour right now and say to them, where is your favorite U.S. Open golf course, the majority will say that it's Shinnecock. I mean, so many of the players love this place. I mean, Adam Scott, I was just with him a couple of weeks ago at the Byron Nelson. He couldn't wait to get here, even though he went right down the wire as far as qualifying. But he told me it's his favorite golf course in the world. I mean, and I hear that over and over again. Justin Rose loves this place. Ricky Fowler has been here a lot. Matter of fact, the pro, Jack Drueger, is picking Ricky Fowler to win. He said every time he talked to Ricky after he played 18 holes here at Shinnecock, the smile got wider and wider. So who's to say Ricky Fowler didn't get his first major here next week? And, of course, if you would allow me, next Saturday I'd like to pop on your show and bring everybody up to date from the U.S. Open right here at Shinnecock. If you could squeeze me in, Danielle.
Yeah, well, I would love to have you on the show. Will you still be in the merchandise tent?
No, we make the big transition after our broadcast tomorrow. We then move down to the media tent. In excess of 800 media will be working here next week covering this U.S. Open. So this is a golf tournament basically on steroids is the only way to describe it. The merchandise tent is big. The golf course is big. The media center is absolutely huge, and everything's a go. And now we got a little confirmation on good weather from Danielle Tucker. We're feeling a little bit better because bright sunshine, a little breeze. Boy, it's one place. And if you ever get a chance, and if you ever get near the area, I'm going to guarantee that I'm going to make arrangements so that Danielle Tucker gets to play Shinnecock. You might, on the 18th, after you walk off the 18th green, you may create a little bonfire and burn your clubs by saying, I'll never play a finer golf course than that, so I'm going to burn my golf clubs.
Okay. All my poor golf clubs. I'm so attached to them. I'm one of those people, the ones I get one, it's like, oh, I love this club. I don't want to get rid of it. I've had my putter for 20 years. Placing the big numbers possibly on 10, 11, and 16. I understand people are could really get in trouble on those golf holes, and we're going to have to, you know, follow that. So, you know, if you're following the U.S. Open, keep an eye on those holes, 9, 10, 11, 16 as well. And did you brought up Ricky Fowler, and Ricky Fowler proposed to Allison on the beach. He's no longer available, ladies. Ricky Fowler is now engaged to Allison Stoke. Okay, it happened yesterday. Just thought I should tell everybody that Ricky has gone and got himself engaged. And we'll be engaged. You and I have an engagement, and that would be to be together again next weekend. It'll be moving day at Shinnecock, and I'm looking forward to talking with you, Bob Bupka, during the show then. Okay?
Thanks for having me on, Danielle, and let's hope for a great national championship. As always, a pleasure to share a little air time with Danielle Tucker. Keep up the good work. You're one of the best, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Oh, it's because I've been talking with you for almost 20 years, Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove, author of The Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event. We're coming back, and we're going to talk with Jacob Bowden. Okay, he's senior writer at GolfWorks.com, professional golfer, co-creator of Sterling Irons, the single-length irons, co-creator Tom Wishon. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we're in the clubhouse now with Jacob Bowden, co-creator of Sterling Irons with Tom Wishon Golf. Jacob is president of Swingman Golf, swingmangolf.com, professional golfer, swing speed trainer. Really important, guys. And remember, your swing speed tells you what kind of a golf ball you should play. And I want to give away a dozen, a box, four sleeves of golf clubs. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, let's go with balls. All right, so I'm thinking, you know, clubs right now, because I'm going to be talking with Jacob about his Sterling irons, the clubs. But we're giving away golf balls, all right, a whole box of them. And the number to call, it's really easy. It's 808-546-5675. 546-5675. 808, if you're on the neighbor island, I'll send them to you happily. Okay, bring them into a clubhouse, Danielle. Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Hey, it's great to be back on the show again. Thanks for having me. This is fourth time back. We're right on schedule. You had me on in 2012, 14, 16, and here we are now, 2018.
We really should do it more often because you've got so many talents. I mean, when I think about it, as a long drive champion, your abilities there, and then the swing speed training, being a professional golfer in your own right, and now creating, co-creating the Sterling Irons, sterlingirons.com. And I thought it was so cool because Jacob was scheduled, and I had to change the time to this weekend, right after, at the Memorial, Bryson DeChambeau, who plays with a single length golf club, he wins the Memorial. And I thought, oh, this is perfect because now I can talk with Jacob about these single length irons and the benefit. I know Bryson is considered to be, you know, a real thinker and a tinkerer, and he loves these single length irons. What is the benefit of playing a single length iron? If you're older, you've been playing with multiple lengths iron your entire life, would be difficult to change. Tell us about them.
Well, the main benefit, I think, if I could just keep it simple, is just more consistency. So golf can be a super complex game. So when you can simplify it and remove variables, it can be a little bit easier to play. And whether you're, you know, a higher handicap and you don't get a chance to play a lot, and you just want to play a little bit better, even if you're a good player and you can want to get really dialed in, single length irons, I think, can do that. Because when you look at a conventional set of irons, a five iron, for example, will be longer and have a lighter head weight than, say, a pitching wedge, which will be shorter and heavier. But with single length irons, they're all the same weight, all the same length, all the same angle, all the same MOI, all the same, and you can set them up in the same ball position as well. So it removes, I wouldn't say it's going to, you know, turn you into Tiger Woods overnight, but it can help you if you're looking to play a little bit more consistently with your iron play. I think it's a really good place to look.
What would you recommend for irons? Do we need a full set? And where do your sets start from? Is it from the four iron? Tell us about what Sterling Irons gives us.
There's about 10 companies now in the single-length iron space, and each company does something a little bit different. With the Sterling Irons in particular, we go from a 19-degree four iron all the way up to a 60-degree lob wedge, and you have everything in there in between. So we have a full, quote-unquote, full set of irons.
Wow, I was going to ask you about wedges. I wasn't sure if the wedges would be the same length as the irons, but then why not, right?
Right. Well, ours are, historically, they've been built to 5, 6, or 7 iron length, but when we were doing our research in wanting to make, Tom and I were wanting to make our own set here, one of the things I found out just in the comment sections and internet golf forums and all that was a lot of people didn't really like such long length wedges. So, Tom and I talked about it a little bit, and he knows the club building, club design part of it better than I do. And we decided to go with an 8 iron length because we felt that was close enough to wedge length that it's, not, it's you're just talking about half an inch, an inch difference. So it's not that big of an adjustment around the green, but you still get the benefits of playing all the clubs the same length. And interestingly, what we didn't expect was a lot of our older buyers, our senior buyers, they prefer to not have to hunch over as much when they're hitting their wedges. So it's a little bit easier on their backs. So that was a nice kind of side benefit that we weren't expecting that we found out about. But we do go a little bit shorter length, 8-iron length, versus most of the other companies.
That's great. Tom Wishon's been a guest on the show several times when he published his great books about club building. So I think it's fantastic that the two of you have teamed up. Let's talk a little bit about your swing speed training. I know in junior golf, I was watching one coach, and the child had a really nice swing, great follow-through, great finish. And if you just hit it a little bit faster, increase that swing speed, which he was capable of, he would have gotten more distance. And the child, a teenager, was a little uncomfortable with the idea of going outside of his comfort zone. So he was used to this one swing that was consistent. So as a swing speed trainer, how do you work with people to get out of that routine and add that speed?
Well, that is one of the tricks about doing it, I guess, is that You probably, all of us have a speed that we're used to going, used to swinging at. But certainly, as you pointed out, club head speed really matters. So if you go from average amateurs, males are swinging 93 miles an hour, average PGA Tour players are 113, and then average professional long drivers are 135 miles an hour. So, and you could, also, as you pointed out, you could have someone with a really beautiful, perfect, technically sound-looking golf swing, but if they're swinging their driver at 90 versus 110, there's going to be a big difference in distance there. So, and interestingly, there's a correlation with handicap and club head speed as well. So better players swing faster and hit it longer. So if you want to hit it longer, and if you want to give yourself a lower handicap potential, then looking at swing speed training is something that you can and maybe should do. And traditionally, we've always kind of thought like, oh, well, you have the speed that you have and you can't do anything about it. But that's actually not the case. You can, much like anything else, you can improve your speed. You can increase it from wherever you are. And it does require a little bit of jumping outside of the box, I guess, as far as what you're asking about, you're used to swinging a certain speed, you need to go faster. And that is part of it. To go faster, you do need to try and go faster. So what we do with swing speed training is you have your normal speed, and then you have a max capable speed of wherever you are. And then through a little bit of training, a couple times a week over the course of a month, we'll spend some time working on raising your max speed so that when you back off and go to your controlled speed, you'll proportionately be faster. So it does require trying to go faster. That is a part of it. To get faster, you do need to try and go faster. That is definitely part of it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I've noticed with a lot of people just trying to make an adjustment that will ultimately pay off is, you know, in the beginning, you may not hit the ball all the time because you're trying to increase the speed of your swing, which may, in the beginning, throw off your ability to hit the ball with the head of the club in the right place. Your sweet spot may be different. And I think a lot of people get really frustrated because change often brings some failure in the beginning until you groove that swing and increase that swing speed, and it makes all the difference in the world. I was just talking, we had a ball fitting clinic And one of my friends from Bridgestone was there at the Women's Golf Day, and he was kind enough to just join, you know, and talk to us about basically swing speed is how you choose your golf balls. It's really important because you can't play as well with something that Tiger Woods plays with. He can pretty much play with any ball he wants and make adjustments. But most people need to choose the right ball for what they're doing. And I thought that was really interesting. And all the women are like, I didn't know that. We didn't know that. And so you get length from the golf club with your swing speed. And when you have the right golf ball, you then increase that length proportionately. I mean, you can only go so far, but it makes it much better. What did you say?
Well, if you're looking for more distance, I think of it as three things that you can do. One is working on your technique, either on your own or with an instructor. And then the second thing could be the swing speed training, so where you're working with your body to be able to do what you do, but just do it faster. And then the third thing to get more distance is what you're talking about here with equipment fitting. So that goes getting the right ball and getting the right shaft and head combination that's going to give you put you in the optimal launch angle and spin rate to maximize the distance that you can get for whatever club that speed you're at. So those kind of three things, if you put all those together, you can really make some big gains.
That's fabulous. What you just said is so important, that when we talk about club fitting, we should really talk equipment fitting. It's not just the clubs, but it's all aspects of what you're going to use while you're playing the game, from the clubs to the ball to everything that you're going to be using, what you're most comfortable right. with. We're talking with Jacob Bowden, co-creator of Sterling Irons. You can go to sterlingirons.com, and you can see Jacob and Tom Wishon, co-creator with Jacob, of these beautiful single-length irons. And Jacob, do you still have swingmangolf.com?
Yes, I do. Those are kind of my two main business projects that I'm working on right now.
Yeah, and I was enjoying, because as I was reading up on what you were doing, I saw the videos on how to play from rock-hard bunkers. And when it's been raining, you know, those things can feel rock-hard. You have a video on more consistent pitching, a distance control with chipping, so difficult sometimes, just to get those things under control. And you can find all of those videos at your swingmangolf.com. So if you'd like to get more instruction from Jacob Bowden, who is president of Swingman Golf, swingmangolf.com. He's a professional golfer. He's a champion long drive. A champion. Let's bring it all together. What was your longest drive that you won with? I've lost my place. Was it, you had a 421-yard grid record drive?
Yeah, in my longest in competition was winning a qualifier for the World Long Drive Championships, and it was 421 yards. And on that particular, they call it a grid in long drive. At the time, that was the grid record for that particular event.
Wow, that's wonderful. And on television, I think there was one 381 yards televised at the Pinnacle Distance Challenge. And by the way, the first time Jacob and I talked, he was involved in a speed golf world championship at Bandon Dunes. 72 was 55 minutes and 42 seconds using six clubs. That's how fast. So not only does he teach you swing speed and long drive, and all of the things about playing from rock-hard bunkers and consistent pitching and chipping, it can inspire you to pick up your pace of play and get yourself around that golf course.
Yeah,
thanks so much for being on the show.
I've got my hands in a lot of things. I've got my hands in a lot of different things.
Yes, you do, and I think it's wonderful, and I love your Sterling Irons. Go to sterlingirons.com and check out Jacob Bowden, PGA professional, leading expert in swing speed training, that he uses to compete himself, and of course won the Pinnacle Distance Challenge with the televised 381-yard drive. Pleasure talking with you, Jacob. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for so much for having me back. It was wonderful to talk to you again.
Thank you. Aloha, Jacob.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. We've got a golf fest going on. It's not just golf. It's food. It's music. It's fun. And we have a winner. That's right. Our Bridgestone Ladies Golf Clubs. I keep saying clubs. Golf balls going to the wonderful young lady. Let me see if I can. Cheryl, and you're from Honolulu. Congratulations, Cheryl. I will be sending you your box of golf balls, three sleeves, four sleeves. I won't keep one for myself. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
All righty, we're going to go straight out to the Mililani Golf Fest. And Guy Yamamoto, you're going general manager at Mililani Golf Club. No, Guy Yamamoto is the general manager at the Royal Hawaiian Golf Course now. He is the vice president of sales and marketing for YHB Hawaii Management. And he is over at Mililani no more. He's over at Royal Hawaiian. Darren has moved over to Mililani. Today, it is the fabulous annual. Is this? Let's bring Guy right in. Guy Yamamoto, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this the 10th year that you've had the Golf and Food Fest? Golf Club?
Actually, it's about 12 or 13 now. It's used to be called Mega Day, and it's evolved over the years. In the last 5 years, it's been the Golf and Food Expo. And, it was something that we thought would be great that not only involved golf, but food, where everybody could come and have a great time.
Something for everybody. There's going to be live music. There's going to be the great food trucks. There's going to be merchandise trunk sale. There's going to be the demo day with all of the guys from Ping and FootJoy and TaylorMade and Cleveland and Callaway and Cobra and Oakley and Titleist so much. And 808 Fitness is going to be there. A whole bunch of great people coming together just to celebrate at Middle Lenny Golf Club, the Golf and Food Expo. And I understand this has a really important benefactor, that we're raising money for Middle Lenny Junior Golf.
Correct. Middle Lenny Junior Golf has been at Middle Lenny Golf Club for the better part of close to 40 years now. It's a volunteer organization, a nonprofit. They introduce youngsters to the game. They have three levels of, instruction or classes that they offer. And, you know, it's all a labor of love. The DeCastros, Mrs. DeCastro, Marge, and her son, Mark, have, and their group of volunteers that run the classes and run the organization, and it's just fantastic. It brings, and it's not only for kids in the Middle Lenny area, but primarily, you know, it's because it's centered at Middle Lenny, of course, but they welcome all juniors, and, you know, they have uniforms, and they are taught not only instruction, but they also taught etiquette, and I think that's probably the most fantastic thing. They learn the complete picture of what golf is.
Yeah, and what golf is often perfect for translating into life lessons that are often harder to teach when you're not in an enclosed comfort zone like a golf course. It's much easier to teach something like honor and respect and safety and all of those things that we need to have in life. On a golf course, it's real easy to tell the kid, hey, watch out, you can't stand right behind a golf club, because otherwise you're going to whack some, you know, you're going to get hit, or you're going to hit somebody if you don't watch around. And then you take care of the golf course, leave it better than what you found it, pick up your rubbish, put it away. You know, all of those things, you're in a contained environment. People are going to see how you behave, and it's really easy to teach children that way. That's why the whole process of junior golf, the way it's developed, and it's always been this way. It's always been teaching kids how to be polite, how to give back, how to help each other, how to get along. And sometimes, you know, you can be lucky and you get to be a caddy. Do we have any caddy programs in Hawaii yet, Guy?
I think Kapalua still has a caddy program, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, you know, those are rare, you know, nowadays. And I know the Western Golf Association provides I believe it's called the Evans Golf Scholarship.
Yes, and Evans Scholarship, yes.
And it's
wonderful. One of my guests here on the golf club from ESPN is an Evans Scholar. So it's a wonderful way to get into the game. You learn to pick up and move along, but take instruction and not complain while you're doing your work, and then you learn to love the game, too. So we're talking right now with Guy Yamamoto. He is the general manager of Royal Hawaiian Golf, Royal Hawaiian Golf, as well as the Ewa Beach Golf Club and Hawaii Kai Golf Course, and the Royal Hawaiian all are together under the umbrella. Is it, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, YHB.
Is it YHB?
Correct, YHB Hospitality.
Right on. And so I understand that Middle Lenny is an absolutely beautiful condition right now.
Yeah, you know, our grounds crew out there has worked extremely hard. You know, that division's under the leadership of Andy Meikle, and, you know, Andy's been a superintendent many years, you know, traveled throughout the state, Poipu, and he was at Kapolei previously on Oahu, and we're, you know, so lucky to have him. And, you know, he just takes care of the course like it's his own backyard. You know, he takes pride in, well, they all do. The entire grounds crew, they just have extreme, you know, pride in the golf course. And now that, you know, it's turned the corner and it's heading back to what everybody would consider like the good old days, you know, fairways are in excellent shape. And, you know, our owners have installed a new irrigation system and have spent some money to, get the golf course back to shape. So it's really looking beautiful. If you haven't played in the last couple of years, it's definitely a stop you'd want to make.
You know, as a general manager formerly over at Mililani, you'd be able to tell us. It doesn't have to be 18. It can be 9. It could be however many holes. Of course, it's a flat rate probably, but is it a different rate for 9 holes than 18?
Yes, and, you know, still have a walking for twilight in the afternoon, so if you want to get in, you know, a 2-for-1 purpose, play golf and get some exercise, you can walk the course after 3:30, and we have multiple avenues as far as during the day. You know, you're a senior citizen, a Kamaina, and they have different promotions going on all the time, you know, from Kamaina Mondays, and there's all kinds of things happening, so it's something to check out.
Absolutely. That's Mililani Golf Club. We're going to have you on to talk about the Royal Hawaiian. But today, we're talking about Mililani because it's the Golf and Food Expo benefiting Mililani Junior Golf. It starts at 9, it goes till 2, and you've got the demo day from Ping and PJ, that is FootJoy, TaylorMade, Cleveland, Callaway, Titleist, Cobra, Oakley, and lots of food trucks. Let me see, I'm not sure if I'm Paliuli and Uncle's. Uncle's Handmade Ice Cream is going to be there. Okay, that does it. I've got to come and get some.
Yeah, that cookie ice cream sandwich is to die for. Paliuli is the restaurant that's stationed at Mililani. You know, Lisa does a great job. If you haven't had her kimchi pasta, it is a wonderful dish.
It sounds delicious. Guy Yamamoto, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure talking to you always.
Danielle, Rick, take care.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and Adam Shupak is going to join us. We're going to talk a little about being on the golf course. And, you know, what is this shot clock event that's going on the European Tour? And I'm a little curious. There's a movement in the UK, at least in England. They're a little concerned about getting people into golf, and they're afraid that sometimes the dress code stops people from getting into the game because it seems so, stuck up or something. I'm not sure. I always like getting dressed to go out on the golf course, but some people would prefer to be in their, what they consider their comfort clothes before they take on something new. So we're going to talk with a wonderful man, Adam Shupak, who, by the way, is on his way to Sea Island for the weekend. Lovely. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Adam Shupak, author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force, golf writer, contributing writer for the New York Times, grew up caddying and working in the bag room and the shop at Quaker Ridge, where the Curtis Cup is being played today. By the way, it's, I think, the only golf course that has hosted both the Curtis Cup and the Walker Cup. That is a beautiful golf course, Quaker Ridge. But I first want to say good morning, good afternoon. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. It's a pretty nice day today in Hawaii. We had a 5.2 earthquake from Pele, Kilauea, it didn't cause a tidal wave or tsunami, as it's called. So we're doing fine. A lot of people are just, you know, holding on that side. But all in all, we're doing good here in Hawaii. Now, Adam Shupak works with the New York Times, international editions also. And as a consequence, he's covering the European Tour, writing on the European Tour's Rolex Series events. But before we get there, about the shot clock on the European Tour in this event and the dress code I was talking about, the preview of the 2018 U.S. Open at Shinnecock, what angle did you take when you did that for the New York Times?
Well, for Shinnecock, I mean, I think it's a return to one of the great golf courses. We've kind of taken the U.S. Open the last couple have been at new venues, and you know the reviews were sort of mixed. I really hope they go back to Chambers Bay. I think it's great to have it out in the Pacific Northwest, and I thought it was a good course. I like having one in the Midwest as well. Last year at Erin Hills, but you know, last year at Erin Hills, driving did not, you know, if you missed the fairway, you hit a pretty bad golf shot. And the winner of the tournament, Brooks Koepka, hit nearly 90% of the fairways. And, you know, that's unheard of at a U.S. Open. So one of the things at Shinnecock is they narrowed the fairways. They were going to be pretty wide, almost like Erin Hills. And after seeing what happened at Erin Hills, they said precision and accuracy needs to be part of the examination at the U.S. Open, which they call the toughest test in golf. And it really hadn't been the last couple of years. And so they've narrowed the fairways. They're still going to be wider than they've ever been when the Open's been at Shinnecock. But I played a media day golf round there. And I will tell you, if you miss the fairway, you are going to be punished. You're going to be in some thick, heavy rough, and it's going to be tough to do more than advance it out with just a wedge. So precision and accuracy will matter again. And, you know, talking to a guy like Paul Azinger, he said Shinnecock is more of a second shot golf course. It's also a place where finesse, and he said the person who's going to win is going to have a great short game and be just really solid around the green. So, you know, I feel like when we talk about that, he said Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, these are guys that could do well, especially if they can keep it on the planet, which has always been a tricky one for them. That those guys have a chance at a place like Shinnecock. I mean, Mickelson was second runner up there in 2004 and tied for fourth in 1995. So he's got a lot of good memories of playing at that golf course.
So for those people who just kind of casually follow golf or just listen to this show because they like to, Phil Mickelson has come in second. Is it six U.S. Opens?
Six times the bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yes, that's why if he could win the U.S. Open finally in his 40s, almost 50, he would have finally completed the career Grand Slam. But it's eluded him six times in a row. It would be really amazing. And people love to bet on Phil Mickelson. What makes him so attractive to the wagerers?
I guess part of it is just, well, I mean, the fans in New York love him, so there'd be no better place for him to complete that Grand Slam there. He'd be just the sixth golfer ever to do it. It's really one of the most exclusive clubs in golf is that career Grand Slam. And I think it's just, you know, you never know what you're going to get out of Phil. I mean, he basically should have won it back at Winged Foot, and he drove it and hit one of the big tens. He was so far off the mark. And then tried to play out went with the aggressive shot for the green and hit a tree, and next thing you know, double bogey, and Jeff Ogilvie's kissing the trophy. So Phil's had some great chances. He's a gambler. He's got that Arnold Palmer in him where he just he's going to pull off the heroic shot every once in a while. He's not afraid to go for it, and I think people love that about him.
Exactly. He's not afraid to go for it. And then at the same time, he can hurt you, and there's something appealing about that, too, for some reason, when it comes to gamblers. We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. So, also writing for the international editions of the New York Times, of course, you would have to cover something like the European Tour's Rolex Series events, which is their prize tour events. This week, is this a Rolex Series tour, this shot clock event?
This one is not. The last 2 weeks on the European Tour have been the BMW PGA Championship, and then also the Italian Open were both. But this one is not. The Shot Clock Masters in Austria is in a lot of ways even more exciting because they're testing out this new thing with the shot clock, and you only have, if you're the first player in the group to hit, you got 50 seconds. Everyone else has 40 seconds to hit their drive, their second shot, their chip, their putt, whatever it might be. And they're saving a lot of time. They've shaved as much as 40 minutes off the pace of play. And I really commend the European Tour and their commissioner, Keith Pelley, for having the foresight to try this. And it's, they call it an experiment, that they're just using it this 1 week. They tried it out a little bit at just one hole last year at the Golf Sixes event, another, kind of creative event that they've come up with to try to attract a younger audience. But, golf has struggled with slow play for way too long. And as I said in my story, it's about time.
Yeah, it is. You can always read. Adam has a couple of stories, sometimes once a week. Sometimes, I think this week there were two. Sometimes you won't see him for a week or so. But it's at morningread.com, morningread.com. He was writing about the shot clock that's being used on the European Tour for the first time. And somebody said, we should have a European Tour Masters. We should have a European Tour whatever. To me, a shot clock should be on all the tours. I know that the PGA Tour has a time issue. They could indeed tell people you've gone too long and we're going to penalize you. Or is that still the case? Do they take that away?
Yeah, if you take longer than that 40 seconds, there you are allowed a couple of timeouts, almost like a football game. But otherwise, if you go over that shot clock, you get a stroke penalty.
When you're playing on this event now that's being tested on the European Tour. And
yes.
And they're really, you've got 40 seconds, you've got 50 seconds, twice in
right.
the tournament or in the round of golf that you can say, I need a little bit extra time, and they'll give it to you, but only two times during the round. What I'm wondering is, why on the PGA Tour don't they enforce the rules that they have in place to stop the slow play from happening? I think their shot clock should be on all the tours.
Yeah, it's a real mystery. It's because It had been from 1995 until last year at the Zurich Classic, which is a team event, that the PGA Tour had not given out a penalty over 20 years. And when this is such an issue, and the players constantly, they complain about the pace of play all the time. You have rounds going over 5 hours long in length, and it just people watch this and the younger kids imitate it, and now you have a problem at the college and amateur level. And so the PGA Tour needs to set a better example. And, if you're watching it on TV, you don't even notice it because the television camera, the broadcasters and the executives there, they know, the producers, they know who's slow, who's fast, when to get in, when to get out. So they don't show that the player's taking a minute to toss the grass and taking way too long to play a golf shot. they just kind of come in, you know, midway. So if you're watching on TV, you may not see it, but if you go to a tournament, it's like watching paint dry sometimes to watch these guys play golf.
It is. It is. And what really was shocking at the U.S. Women's Open is to see Arya Chutanagarn sitting at the tee there. She's waiting to be able to tee off. And she's sitting there. I'm not sure what she was doing to preoccupy her time, but she's sitting on the ground because she's waiting for the guys, you know, to hit their third shot or to finish being on the green. That is just, it's just not acceptable. This is professional golf where it's, there's supposed to be some sense of time, you know, of, I'm not sure what the word is. Urgency. Yes. A sense of urgency. You are in a competition. Yo, move it along. And I just don't see them feeling that. And that's why I think, and by the way, these guys watching the European Tour, they're hitting their shots with at least 15 seconds or 10 seconds left before they get to 40. So it's not like they're being rushed.
Yeah, in my story, I said Jeff Ogilvie made the point of all these guys on the tour, they go home and they play in 3 hours with their friends. So what happens that it takes so much longer? Obviously, they're playing for a lot of money. If you were playing for, you know, had a putt that was going to make a difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you'd probably want to take a little longer to make sure you had the right line. But, you know, he said tack on 45 minutes for that. But, what, you know, where does it go from 3 hours, 45 minutes to close to 5 hours just because there's some more money on the line and everything else? I think this is proven that these guys can play faster. We see it whenever there's, you know, been a rain delay and guys are concerned about getting out of town. They played a lot faster at the Byron Nelson when they were concerned they might have to stay over the Monday, or if it's you know, late in the day and they don't want to have to get up in the morning, then they all seem to run to the next tee to get the round in.
Yeah, they want to get it done. They'll play in the dark.
Yeah.
There's no light. They're going to finish this round because they don't want to come back and do, you know, a couple of shots. I think it's fascinating. I know there's the element of gamesmanship and the guys are psyching each other out. I know you want to play faster. I'm going to slow you down. I'm going to mess with your game. There's all of that, I'm sure, that goes on as well. But to a point, it just becomes silly. You know, use your clubs. The mental game, I get it, you know, but I think there's just too much of that. If that's the reason why this is slowing down so much and they're playing with each other's minds out there on the golf course, it's not effective for us. And if maybe they're just playing for themselves. I'm talking with Adam Shupak, author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force, golf writer, contributing writer for New York Times. He grew up caddying and working in the bag room in the shop at the Quaker Ridge where the Curtis Cup is being played as we're speaking right now. And the U.S. is definitely in the lead. It's 2-7. And the United States is close to retaining the cup. We, of course, have Mariel Galdiano from Hawaii playing. She won with Lilia Vu 2-1. So a successful day for her in Saturday four ball, and they'll continue. But what's great about it is this golf course must be really special. You specifically wanted to talk about how beautiful it is.
Yeah, you know, I did spend several summers there. It's a golf course ranked in most top 100 lists. And you mentioned earlier it's hosted a Walker Cup, now the Curtis Cup. This is a course that is of the caliber to host a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship for sure. They just don't have space for all the accoutrements of a modern major. There is no driving range. What the members do is they hit onto one of the fairways early in the morning, but other than that, there really isn't anywhere you couldn't have a big professional event where the Curtis Cup is a small enough number of players that they can just, you know, warm up doing that, hitting onto another fairway. But it is a great old A.W. Tillinghast course, some of the best stretches of par fours in the country. And it's right next to Wing Foot, and I personally feel this way. I'm not alone. A lot of people say Quaker Ridge is a better golf course than Wing Foot, which has hosted many a U.S. Open and will host it in 2020 again.
Wow.
Those are my feelings about Quaker Ridge.
Marion is another example of being such a small course with so little. They pulled off an event, a major, at Marion not too long ago. But they're hard to do because, like you said, there's so much that has to go into. We're looking at the U.S. Open merchandise, quote-unquote, tent. It's like
right.
They went in and built a superstore for their USJ event that's going to last all of 2 weeks. The store is going to be open. They're going to fold up shop and leave. But they're able to make $10 million, and that'll support so many things like the Curtis Cup. And it's a nice insight from you, and I thank you very much. And finally, this dress code, I posted on my Facebook page, and I got 52 comments about allowing or not allowing people with jeans and untucked shirts with gym shoes to play golf. And part of this comes from England Golf's chief executive, Nick Pink, who has relaunched golf, Get Into Golf program in the UK, in England in specific, because they're finding that they need to get people to play the game, and maybe this whole thing about you've got to wear a certain outfit is keeping some of the young people from at least trying it out. And of the 52 comments, a lot of people were for letting them play in jeans and untucked shirts. A lot of people were against it. One person said it should be illegal. But most people really kind of said that if they're adhering to the golf etiquette on the course, I'll let them be. This topic's been going on forever,
right.
5 years. And since you cover the European Tour, what's your sense of what's happening in England in specific?
Well, I think England's actually been doing a very good job of growing the games. You know, Scott, there's so many great English golfers right now, especially at the professional level. Scotland has really struggled. And, you know, since Colin Montgomery, they really haven't had a great professional male player. So I think golf in general needs to be more welcoming, and the younger people, they want to do things their way, and that might include, you know, music when they're playing, and that might include wearing jeans, and it's definitely going to include stopping to post a photo on Instagram and other social media. I mean, that's just the way it is today, and to exclude people because their shirt's tucked in, I don't think that's a good idea. It doesn't give a good image of golf. It just seems very old and stodgy and unwelcoming, and it's small things like that I think golf can let go. You gotta keep, you know, I do love a lot of the tradition that is involved in golf, but some of it, I think it's time for it to evolve, and if we could get a few more young people to play because they can feel a little more comfortable wearing clothing that they like. I think it's just like tennis when Andre Agassi started rebelling against wearing only whites. You know, I think a lot more people saw it as a cool game, and it's a small thing, but whatever we can do to encourage more people to play and get involved and start at a younger age, I think I'm all for that.
You know, and I think that once they started making women's golf clothing so that we weren't wearing smaller versions of what the guys were wearing and looking really chunky out there, and we were starting to feel like girls get to wear something, and I see women enjoying and embracing the quote-unquote costume of the game. And I think if you let people come in with what they're comfortable in, and then they see what other people are wearing to play, they'll adopt the uniform, quote-unquote. I think it's, you know, I just don't think we should be so just nervous about these youngins and all their ideas. Adam Shupak, it's such a pleasure talking with you. Author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. He's got another book in the works. I just know it. But he is so busy. He's a golf writer, contributing writer for New York Times. And you can find him as well at morningread.com. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Always a pleasure. Take care.
We're going to come back and talk to a man who's on his way to the Garden of Eden. Okay, fine. He's going to Kent. And that's in England, in the UK. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
A question. What is 6 times larger than your front door? What can open and close with the touch of a button or the click of your smartphone? What do your neighbors notice every time they pass your home? And what is the one home improvement that offers the largest return on investment? What gives you thousands of choices yet can be installed in a single day? You're right. It's your new Rainer garage door. Beautify your home with Rainer at 676-3667. That's 676-3667.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And Mike May, golf and travel writer, returned from discovering the Atlantic Lynx in Cornwall. Remember that? He was on the show and talked to us about the Merseyside, Southport, reminded me of the Mersey Beat and the Beatles and all that. Well, now he's on his way to golf in Kent, the Garden of England. And when you look at the golf courses that he's going to be visiting, really amazing. And some of the places he's staying, if you go to hevercastle.com.uk/golf, it's amazing. The golf courses in Kent are beautiful. Mike May gets to be there. He is standing by for his flight. He's at JFK. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you so much. I'm at JFK. My flight's a few hours away, so we have plenty of time to conduct this interview. And, yes, in less than 24 hours, I'll be playing golf at the Hever Castle Golf Club. And also, I'm spending the night tomorrow night in the Anne Boleyn Wing of Hever Castle. And Hever Castle is referred to as the prettiest castle in the world. So that'll be quite an experience. I've got a GoPro camera, so I'll be documenting everything visually as well as still photos and taking notes. So it's a complete multimedia golf trip.
Wow. Now, I didn't know that was known as just in case, the Anne Boleyn, you know, King Henry VIII's second wife, and she was Queen of England for about 1,000 days, and he whacked off her head. I thought it was really interesting what you said about how that when she was hard to get, when he wanted her to be his queen, she was appealing, but when she argued with him after he had already gotten her, he didn't like her anymore.
Well, he didn't like her saying no. He found her appealing. He was courting her when she would say no, but then when they finally, you know, became husband and wife, he expected her to obey him and not disagree with him. And from what I understand, her head was chopped off with a sword, not a guillotine. That was a little bit more friendly, amicable way of parting ways.
Wow. You know, when you got a base on how they cut your head off and whether you're getting out on an amicable level, that's cute. I love that.
Yes.
You always have these little insights. This is Mike May, golf and travel writer. Now, you say you're taking pictures, you're doing videos, so it's multimedia. Where can we find you?
I'll be posting this stuff on my website, MikeMayMarketing.com, within a matter of hopefully days and weeks. But it's I'm going to do some stand-ups like you would see on the news. I'll do some 60-second segments that will just be me on camera, and then I'll be also taping segments on the course. I think on most courses I'll do stories where I do a stand-up on the first tee, I do a stand-up on the 18th green, and then I'll fill the stuff in the middle with points of interest along the course. So I'm looking to do a series of 90-second segments that you would see on the evening news, like on TV in Honolulu.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. We get it. And a lot of people do that when they're doing travel segments here in Hawaii. They'll do a stand-up at a garden, or we're seeing a lot of stand-ups from, of course, Puna on the Big Island, where the lava flow is just creating new land and taking so many hundreds of homes. It's very difficult for folks on the Big Island in Puna trying to figure out where they're going to go next. Where you're going next after Hever Castle, you're going to spend the night, assuming, and we'll let you go. Since that's the prettiest castle, maybe you won't want to go, but you're off to Leeds Castle, and then yes. Willowstone Golf Club, and then Royal Sink Sports. Give us a little bit of information about some of the places you're stopping at.
Yeah, but I think the highlight of the trip will be, I think the whole trip is a highlight film, but I think from a golf perspective, the highlights will be Tuesday and Wednesday, out back-to-back 36-hole days. On Tuesday morning, I played Littlestone Golf Club. That is a former open qualifying site, so it's obviously an open caliber. Then the afternoon, I'll be playing Royal Cinq Ports, which is sort of a French-sounding name. It's hosted the Open on two occasions, in 1909 and 1920. Then on Wednesday morning, I'll get up, and I'll be playing with my buddy Neil from Cornwall. Yeah, he's driving up. We're playing Royal St. George's with a caddy at 7:55. And that, of course, has hosted 14 prior British Opens, and the Open in 2020. Then that afternoon, we'll be playing Prince's Golf Club, which is also a former Open venue in 1932. I think Gene Sarah's in the one back then. So between Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, less than 36 hours, I'll be playing three Open caliber golf courses back to back to back. And that's something people dream about, but don't even get a chance to even think about, really, and I'm doing it, so it'll be amazing.
And you're doing it, and you're going to have it available at MikeMayMarketing.com so we can see what these courses look like. You know, they're pretty insistent on pace of play in Europe, in England and Scotland and Ireland and the U.K. When you do your stand-ups, do they make accommodations for you, or are you just on the first tee and on the 18?
Well, I'm going to, I've been around golf for a long time, so I understand pace of play and respect it. So there'll be points that I'm actually going to have some scripts written in advance. So I've scouted out these courses. I know where I wanted to do a stand-up, and it'll be about a 15-second segment. So I've got my GoPro. It'll be ready. I just hit go, do my stand-up, and I'll move on. So I'll pick and choose when I do it so I don't slow down the pace of play and just keep moving. So I respect it, but
I kind of figured you had it all figured out. We were just talking with Adam Shupak about the shot clock tournament that's going on the European Tour. But in addition to all the golf that Mike May is playing, if you wanted to go, let's say, to golf in Kent, the Garden of England, you'd be able to not only go out and see these fabulous golf courses, play these fabulous golf courses, whether you want to play 18 or 9, there's so much more to do. I didn't know Pocahontas was at St. George's Church, and you know, Gravesend, in Dickens, Great Expectations, Pickwick Papers in Rochester. So all of these places to see are near the golf courses you're playing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Canterbury Cathedral is a world-famous cathedral. It is in Kent. The White Cliffs of Dover, we've heard about through the Second World War, that's in Kent. You've also got, with Royal St. George's, that was the site of a scene from Goldfinger, the Bond film from the 1960s, where Goldfinger and James Bond, Sean Connery, contested a match. They called it Royal St. Mark's. They regret not saying Royal St. George's. They were concerned about too much publicity and crowd. So it's close to London. It's southeast of London. So I'll be arriving at Heathrow tomorrow afternoon, and within an hour I'll be in Kent, the Kent countryside, and not far from the English Channel. It's simply spectacular. And next Wednesday night I'm having dinner at a pub called the George and Dragon in Sandwich, as in the commercial Dilly Dilly. And the pub was opened in 1446, 46 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It's like, wow. So the history is just everywhere.
I think, you know, yours is amazing. I went to a pharmacy in Dubrovnik when it was Yugoslavia. It was a long time ago, and Dubrovnik is where a lot of movies and a lot of very popular television or HBO shows are filmed. There is a pharmacy there that's been open since 1292, and they're still there, they're still selling, and they still have these incredible shelves full of interesting bottles and things, and that's why going to Europe is such a marvel. They know about keeping things as, to a certain degree, the way that you'd want to find them if you were a turista, which we we call them visitors when they're coming to Hawaii to visit the islands. And from hotel rooms, if I wanted to go follow your itinerary, are you going to post this, Mike?
I'm going to, I'll probably get things posted. I've got a web guy back here in the U.S., and I'm going to send him some photos, and we'll get things posted to Mike Green Marketing rather quickly, quicker than I did last year. If you go to my website right now, you'll see a complete list of pictures and stories from my trips to the Atlantic Link. So you can see the Atlantic Link tab. I've got a nice chronological series of pictures and stories, and I hope to take that to another level this year as I recap golf in Kent. And by the way, I'm having dinner tomorrow night at a pub called Henry VIII. So between staying in the Anne Boleyn wing and having dinner at the King Henry VIII pub, I should come back as a historian on Henry VIII.
And tell us if you sense the history when you're spending the night in some of these castles, now hotels. And we also want to know, when we talk to you when you've returned, the size, you know, how much luggage can a woman really bring without taking away her bed from the room? You know, there's some very small hotel rooms in Europe. If you're not, it's surprising. You go in, you put your suitcase in. Oh, dear, I can't get to the restroom now. Mike May, marketing.com. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Aloha. Okay, so I want to thank the people who make this show possible. And we've got two rounds of golf to give away at Poipu Bay Golf Course for Father's Day. So I want you to all, write this number down, 808-546-5675. I mean, if you can get in and win two rounds of golf at Poipu in the next 2 minutes, game on. Go for it. Get in touch with Nani right now. She'll answer the phone. But first, I'm going to thank the people who make this show possible. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, or a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, whether you're starting from ground up, you're a new build, you got to go through it all, maybe you're a renovation, maybe some of the walls get to stay standing, or you just need some repair work done, call Creative Plumbing. Got to be done right. It's your plumbing. The water has to stay in the pipes. Call Creative Plumbing. Rainer Doors. The overhead door, I stick with it. To protect the Lamborghini showroom, you want to protect your home, okay? Use the Rainer Doors, providing lasting security and safety for your business, for your home. It's Rainer Doors. And increase the value of your home with that major return on your investment by installing an overhead door, a Rainer door. Call Rainer Doors, 647-2056. Futurestone's master craftsmen can turn your building, yes, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project, yes, into artwork. They specialize in natural stones. They have Brazilian quartzite flagstone, aquapave, on-site stormwater, source control systems. They have interlocking concrete pavers, Roman stack walls. Heck, they even do like a landing where you can land a plane on it, and it'll be very good to the environment because they've got all of these things that they can use to make sure that nothing goes through and disturbs the source water. Thank you to Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. He's over at the Kahili Course, Maui School of Golf. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.